Lesson 16. Samuel preferred before the house of Eli. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. The apostasy which developed through the shocking example of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and Eli's own inability to rectify the situation, brought on a dramatic change in the priesthood in the reign of David, but was to have a far-reaching implication in the future priestly order. The aim of this lesson is to teach us that righteousness is an essential quality of those who seek to perform God's service to the glory of His name. This lesson is taken from 1 Samuel chapters 2, 3, and 4. The failure of the old priesthood, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 to 26. Although Eli was diligent in his administration of the tabernacle duties, he failed to discipline his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, until it was too late to do so. They not only conducted themselves in an immoral and debased fashion, but they arrogantly commandeered the sacrificial offerings for themselves, as it says in verses 13 to 14. The law allowed only a certain part of the peace offering to be taken by the officiating priest, as it says in Leviticus 7, verses 30 to 34. But the sons of Eli were taking their choice, and in effect taking fellowship, which is the significance of the peace offering, from the people. They roughly seized part of the offering even before they burnt the fat, as it says in verse 15. The fat, which was the best part and represented the inward goodness, was Yahweh's portion and was not to be eaten, as it says in Leviticus 3, verse 16. It is clear that they demanded the offering before the fat was burnt, so that they might roast the meat and eat it with the fat. In this way, Eli's sons disdained the divine etiquette of acceptable worship, scoffing at the protests of the worshipers, so causing an even greater tragedy. Many Israelites abhorred making offerings to God, as it says in verse 17. Such a situation was intolerable to God. His appointments were being defiled and despised. Eli tried to correct his apostate sons, but they brushed him aside, as it says in verses 22 to 25. The time had come for divine intervention. The warning of judgment, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27 to 36, as well as chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. A man of God pronounced judgment upon the old priesthood on the principle that them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed, as it says in verse 30. There would be an enemy invasion. Eli's sons would be slain in one day, and his family's priesthood would be superseded by another. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, as it says in verse 35. This was to have a preliminary application to the work of Samuel, who performed the office of a priest in offering burnt offerings and sacrifices, and who anointed Saul and David as kings of Israel, as it says in 1 Samuel 7, verses 9 to 10, in 1 Samuel 10, verse 1 and 8, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. The same impending judgment was revealed to the child Samuel one night at Shiloh. God called, "Samuel," three times, and each time Samuel rose from his bed and ran to Eli, thinking that Eli had called. Then Eli perceived that it was God who was calling, and instructed Samuel to say, when next called, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." The instruction which Samuel received that night was that Eli's house was to come to an end because of the vileness of the sons of Eli and because he did not restrain them. In the morning, Eli heard the content of this message and, in due deference to the justice of God, said, "It is Yahweh. Let him do what seemeth him good." Judgment comes, taken from 1 Samuel chapter 4. In the course of time, Israel rebelled against the Philistine oppression, but were repulsed. They desperately sought the assistance of the Ark of God in the battle, but to no avail. They were overrun, and 30,000 Israelites were slain, including Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas. But it was the seizure of the Ark that formed the greatest shock to Eli. On hearing of its loss, he fell to his death, as it says in verse 18. The wife of Phinehas, on hearing of the tragedies, also died when giving birth to a son, but not before she named the baby Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed," as it says in verses 17 to 22. Also compare Psalm 78, verse 64. The ark was taken to the land of the Philistines, but its presence discomforted the Philistines and brought shame upon their idol worship. Finally, the Philistines gave up the ark, and it was restored later by a remnant in Israel who were blessed thereby. Later still, David brought the ark and placed it in Zion with great rejoicing, as it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, as well as chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. In the days of Solomon, it was conveyed into the most holy place of the magnificent temple he built, as it says in 2 Chronicles 5, verses 4 to 10. The priesthood changed. Eli had been told that the line of priests of which he was part would cease. This came to pass in the time of David and the early part of Solomon's reign. During the reign of David, there were two priests officiating, Abiathar and Zadok. Abiathar was in the line of Eli. He was the only one in his family to survive Saul's slaughter of the priests for support given to the fugitive David, as it says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 17 to 21, as well as chapter 23, verse 6. Note that the names of Abiathar and his father Ahimelech are occasionally inverted. See 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 17, as well as 1 Chronicles 18, verse 16, and chapter 24, verse 6. Abiathar continued to serve during David's reign, but he later conspired with Adonijah against Solomon and was removed from the priestly office. Zadok was appointed as high priest in his stead. Thus was fulfilled the predicted change in Eli's priesthood. Note 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 26 to 27. There was at this stage another fulfillment of prophecy. Two of Aaron's sons, Ithamar and Eleazar, were heads of the two families of priests. Eli and Abiathar were descendants of Ithamar, whereas Zadok was of the family of Eleazar, as it says in 1 Chronicles 24, verses 1 to 3. Eleazar's son, Phinehas, had been given a promise of perpetual priesthood because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel, as it says in Numbers 25, verses 11 to 13. This, too, was fulfilled in the reign of Solomon, when Abiathar was deposed and the sons of Zadok ministered at the temple. The Melchizedek Priesthood, based on Hebrews chapter 7. The priesthood changed from one line of priests to another during the reign of Solomon, but they were still sons of Aaron, Levites. A more significant change was yet to occur. Under the law of Moses, the Levitical priests were appointed after a carnal commandment, as it says in verse 16. By this, the writer of Hebrews means that the priests appointed had to have certain qualifications which had no relationship to their character or way of life. Those qualifications related to, first, their tribe, which was Levi, and family, which was Aaron. Second, their age, which was 30 to 50 years. Third, their physical fitness. And fourth, marriage within the house of Israel. This meant that a wicked man, if he possessed these credentials, could qualify for the priesthood. In this, the weakness of the Levitical priesthood can be seen. Jesus Christ does not belong to the Levitical priesthood, but to the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek was a man who lived in the days of Abraham and was king of Salem. Because there is no mention of his death in the portrait of him, which is divinely given in Genesis 14, he appears, as far as the record is concerned, as one who lived forever. This feature of the record was taken up by David in Psalm 110, where it is said of Messiah that he would be, by God's oath, a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, as it says in verse 3 of that psalm. In Hebrews 7, Paul expounds the Melchizedek priesthood. We are told that the meaning of the names and even the order of their occurrence is significant. Melchizedek, meaning King of Righteousness, is first mentioned, and he is then declared to be King of Salem, meaning peace. Jesus was first King of Righteousness, that is, he did no sin, and then, because of that, he was made King of Peace and a priest forevermore. See verses 1 to 3 and also verse 28. Paul also uses the fact that the Genesis record mentions neither Melchizedek's death or his parentage to say that he was made in the record like Jesus, who lives continually as a priest without being born of parents in the line of Levi, as it says in Hebrews 7, verse 3, also verses 12 to 15. Priesthood in the coming age. It is significant that in the age to come there will be two orders of priests officiating in the great temple which Ezekiel describes in the concluding chapters of his prophecy, which are chapters 40 to 48. There will be mortal priests, the sons of Levi, who will be purified to offer to God sacrifices in righteousness, as it says in Ezekiel 44, verses 10 to 11, as well as Malachi 3, verse 3. There will also be officiating the immortal sons of Zadok, meaning righteousness, who have kept God's charge, and they will have greater privileges and stand before Yahweh, as it says in Ezekiel 44, verses 15 to 16. It appears that they will form part of the Melchizedek priesthood, for their qualification is righteousness. They kept God's charge. Today, God is taking from among men a people for his name, a royal priesthood, as it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, as well as Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10. Their faith in God is imputed to them for righteousness, and the works of faith that follow will, by God's grace, enable them to be clothed in fine linen and immortality and to become the priests of the future age, as it says in Revelation 19, verse 8, and Revelation 20, verse 6. So then, the lessons for us are that, first, at times it seems that righteousness goes unrewarded and unrighteousness goes unpunished, but let us ever remember that God is in control. Second, the evil works of the sons of Eli eventually brought them to their destruction in battle and led to a change in the priesthood in the time of Solomon, some 100 years after Eli's time. Third, the zeal of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, eventually bore fruit. There was a change in the priesthood several hundred years later. And fourth and finally, God has called us to be kings and priests, not because our parents may be in the truth, but on the basis that we individually respond and show faithfulness and zeal towards God.